Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Welcome to today's episode of ModPath Chat. I'm pleased to have the opportunity today to visit with Dr. Siba Al-Hussein and Dr. Sanam Logavi, co-authors of recent editorial published in Modern Pathology. It's a unique editorial. It deals with social media. So let me first start by introducing Dr. Hussein. He's currently a hematopathology fellow at MD Anderson Cancer Center and soon to join a faculty as faculty at the University of Rochester, New York. Dr. Logavi is an assistant professor at the Department of Hematopathology at MD Anderson. And I took the liberty of stealing one of the sentences she had describing her passion from her bio, where she says, "I'm passionate about using technology and social media platforms to advance pathology education." That pretty much summarized the topic of the podcast, where we're going to be talking about the utility of social media in amplifying our educational message, and even, as you're going to see, some of the clinical objectives. Thank you both for accepting my invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad. I'm glad they worked out. So let's jump in to discuss the editorial. But before we do that, and maybe Dr. Logavi, you can weigh in, because I think this preceded Dr. Hussein's fellowship, where that initiating events where you guys at MD Anderson HemPath started getting into all this tweet about creating a hashtag. So that was what I'm referring to, I think, is a conference called Current Concepts in Hematopathology, correct? So can you take us back? It was in 2019 or even before.
Of course, sure. Yes. So, you know, I was very much aware of social media platforms and how, you know, other pathologists were on social media trying to promote the discipline of pathology into advanced education. But, you know, as is life, I was just incredibly busy. It was like the beginning of my career, and I just didn't have time to engage in social media, or I thought that maybe it wasn't worth the effort until I had to organize this meeting, the Current Concepts in Hematopathology, which actually before COVID-19 used to be a, you know, every other year event that we held for our alumni. It preceded my time, but then as I joined, I took over as one of the organizers. And, you know, we were advertising the conference. We were going through the usual methods, posting on pathology outlines, on the Society of HemPath. And then someone, and I don't remember who it was, but someone had suggested to Saul Wong, one of our other faculty members at MD Anderson, that, you know, you guys should advertise on Twitter. There's a large audience of pathology residents, fellows, and pathologists on Twitter that would be interested. So we said, you know, we don't know anyone on Twitter. Who do we approach? And someone suggested Eve Crane, who's now a great friend of mine and who I didn't know at the time. And Adam Booth, who was a resident at the time at Galveston, was also rotating with us. And, you know, he's a social media star. So we said, okay, sure. Maybe we'll ask Eve and Adam to help us advertise on Twitter. And Eve was so gracious. She actually offered to come for the meeting and live tweet the meeting as we were, you know, holding it. So Adam and Eve started live tweeting the meeting. They helped us create a hashtag. I really didn't know what a hashtag is or, you know, what it
was. Which is an opportunity to talk about the jargon. I think you call people like Adam and Eve. It's interesting. the couple, the name. You call them influencers?
Twitter. Yes, they are social media influencers, for sure.
What an age we live. For sake of disclosure, Genevieve was our resident at Hopkins, so I never knew she's going to be such a rock star in social media. I knew she's going to be a great pathologist, but that's great. So influencers do help, right?
Because they're already 100%. So, you know, they came and they started live tweeting the event. And I was, you know, so I started following them on Twitter and following the tweets that they were sending. And by the end of the day, within a span of maybe 8 hours or so, we had, you know, they got the statistics from Simplore. And I was shocked. We had more than 3 million impressions of that meeting. You know, just in a matter of a few hours.
Explain to the previous generation, people like me, what is this impression? What does it mean?
Sure. So impressions means essentially the number of times people saw that tweet on Twitter. They don't have to have necessarily engaged with it. They may not have clicked on it, but they saw the tweet. So these are people that either followed Adam and Eve directly or followed some of their followers who had liked their tweets or engaged with their tweets. So, you know, in a matter of 8 or 10 hours, we, you know, surpassed what we... Sorry, go ahead.
Amazing. Sorry, yes.
Yeah, it was incredible. So then, you know, I became a believer. And I said, this is real. This is very powerful. And, you know, maybe I should spend a little bit more time and learn about this. So then I started, you know, actively following people like Eve, Adam, Kamran Mirza, who is a big Team Path influencer on social media. And it was, for me, it was kind of like an instant addiction because I just realized how powerful it was. And I started learning, you know, I started trolling people. That's another, I guess, trolling is, you know, how you secretly stalk or follow people. So I was following people to learn, you know, what they were doing with these Twitter accounts. And I also have to give credit to one of the leukemia physicians at MD Anderson, Naveen Kamaraju. I'm sure you see him. He's also very active on social media. He had mentioned to me a couple of years before, you know, how powerful Twitter was and how we should use it as a medium. But again, I just, you know, I didn't have time, regrettably. So then, you know, I started tweeting and I started engaging, and it was right about the time that Siba was joining as a fellow. And I'll let her, you know, give you a little intro on how we all got together.
Absolutely.
So Siba, you're the first author on this great editorial, and I was very supportive of that, publishing this editorial, because at Modern Pathology, as you know, and clearly this podcast, I happen to be a believer, like you just said, Sinan, that this is very helpful for our field. So Siba, can you take us through you know, your experience, stuff that you detailed in the article about the different aspects that social media and Twitter specifically can help us in pathology education and clinical and public awareness and what have you.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I would like to say that I'm someone who was very skeptic about everything social media. I'm not someone who, you know, naturally would go and be very active on social media platforms. So this is why I never had a Twitter before 2019, which is very interesting, knowing that right now, today, I spend, you know, a good amount of time learning stuff on Twitter and tweeting stuff. So I was very going into it. I was very skeptical of it. The thing that started the whole thing at MD Anderson in our group was that Dr. Logavi kind of like invited a social media wizard, I guess, who gave us like a small lecture about how to set up a Twitter account, the benefits of having it, how to, kind of like abide by the rules of being in a medical, coming from a medical background and tweeting about medical stuff without breaching any patient information. So it was a very informative session. And it also opened, like that was my, the moment when I realized that, yes, this is powerful and this can lead to a lot of things. That was like my moment when I was like, yeah, I'm totally sold on this and we should at least try it. So this is what I did. I had, I was very fortunate that Dr. Logavi was already addicted. So I took a lot from her experience. And I tried to build on it and give like a fellow perspective on how to use this kind of things in order to learn, because I was like also starting my hematopathology fellowship, which is a very, intense experience. So going into this, I was learning from both sides, right? Like I was learning from my training and I was trying to implement everything I'm learning every day into Twitter. And going back to that word that we talked about before, archiving our cases into a platform or somewhere, right? So that we can go back to it if we need to.
The cases you're tweeting about, the images,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And these are cases, like everything that we're tweeting are cases that are either unique or cases that we had troubles coming up with a final diagnosis on these cases, or classic, bread and butter kind of like textbook pictures of cases that some people can find helpful for board review. So
So how do you archive? How do I go back and search for that? If I'm a hemopath fellow sitting here at UAB and I want to benefit from all that repository,
this is where the hashtag element comes into play. So we created the hashtag HempathMDA, which is an abbreviation for MD Anderson. And when you go to hashtag NDA, you'll find all the tweets that we've tweeted. It's been 2 years now. So this is one way to go about it. And the other way is to go to hashtag HemePath, which is a more, it's more of a global hashtag where people from all over the world can tweet stuff about hematopathology in particular. So there, when you go to hashtag HemePath, you'll find our tweets and tweets from literally like all over the world. So these are like two ways. Another way is to go to broaden the perspective and, include the leukemia clinicians. So hashtag leukemia SM or social media is another way to look for stuff that have to do with hematopathology. But obviously there are hashtags for cytopathology, hashtags for GI pathology. At this point of time, every subspecialty in pathology has its own unique hashtag that you can go to.
Amazing. And that search will occur through Twitter, or do you can do it also through Google? Whatever you put hashtag, it will lead you to this.
I my guess would be that if you put it anywhere, you'll get a Twitter page, because everything is so connected. But in Twitter in particular, when you go to that search box and you put the hashtag there with any word following it, you'll get like everything about it.
Excellent. So, I mean, I understand and clearly we all value the educational aspect, but you touched upon that. There are issues, and I go through it in my own department. We, one of the things we brought communication director and we started doing all this to do a case of a week and what have you, is what we have to be very careful, because pathology on one hand is very amenable to that because we live on images. This is our job, and Twitter is such a platform that is conducive to that. But the issues of HIPAA, the issues of also turning off some audience with certain images that, gross images for us may be interesting, but Twitter is open to the public, because you touch upon that in your editorial, that it helps you even with the public. public. So can you give a word of advice to people who are listening if they were have not embarked so actively on Twitter, how to best avoid these hard lessons?
Absolutely. So first of all, there's a paper about this, and I think it's led by Dr. Crane and if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Gerard Gardner, about the rules and you know the etiquettes, right, of how to tweet. So there's a paper about this. It's very comprehensive, and it teaches people how to pay attention and be careful about stuff that you might not really pay attention, you know, or be careful about because you're so used to. Put your pictures out there and tweet about your friends. And maybe you don't have the same perspective when it comes to tweeting about something medical. So obviously, like, it's not a bad idea to, take a moment and just think about what you're tweeting. This is something that is very important. And I try to do this every time I create a tweet. I just, you know, put it there for 5 or 10 minutes, go back to it and with a fresh mind, and then, you know, take a look at it again and make sure that everything that I'm saying is really neutral. It doesn't, you cannot really guess who am I talking about, basically. Obviously, when I tweet pictures, I make sure that MRNs are gone. Everything that is patient related is, you know, is deleted, double check. It never hurts, so double and triple check, because once it's out there, it's out there. We cannot take it back. People take screenshots. Even, you know, in the age that we live in, screenshots are very easy to take, and people, take it with a good intention, obviously. But, if you have anything
that is traceable in terms of HIPAA, we have to be extremely careful.
So just to take a couple of minutes before tweeting to double check everything, and everything should be okay.
Excellent. I mean, I don't think is, some people may argue it's an exaggeration because the title says Rebranding Hematopathology Using Twitter, the MD Anderson Experience.
We're very exaggerated.
That's very passionate. Let's put it that way. So, I was struck, you know, reading the editorial at the time you submitted, and now again for the podcast, you know, I was struck about really how many applications, you know, the public awareness about certain diseases, because even the public can look at that, clinician engagement, establishing collaborations. Is that true? You know, did you get any collaboration due to some tweets among the different influencers, institutions? Can you mention an example to our audience?
I'll let Dr. Lagarde go first.
It's been incredible. The engagement with, with our group has just been remarkable. I think, you know, we're very fortunate because we were at an institution that was heavily invested in using social media to advance, first of all, the brand of MD Anderson. You know, they use it for patient education, for patient advocacy, and then they also wanted to use it for medical education. So we have an office dedicated to social media. And that was very, very helpful for us in terms of, you know, the ethics of using social media, how not to violate HIPAA guidelines, you know, using all of these experiences that was provided to us and, you know, the guidance that was provided to us by social media, by the social media office, we were able to establish a presence that I think was mostly educational and not so much a, you know, not like too social or too entertaining. So then people started engaging with us, and through that we built, you know, relationships with clinicians outside of MD Anderson, with other pathologists outside of MD Anderson. Everyone was keen and eager to, you know, help essentially advance this program that we had created. And, you know, to give you an example, we published in The Pathologist with Kamran Mirza and with a group of outstanding world-renowned clinicians in every in different areas of heme malignancies, a series of educational cases that coincided with ASH. So that issue of The Pathologist was released with the annual ASH meeting. And these engagements and collaborations and, you know, relationships essentially were purely built on Twitter.
Excellent. Well, I wish we had more time because this is really probably we can do another podcast on social media and invite you and some of the other influencers. But this has been very informative, and I refer our audience to the freely available article or editorial in this case to learn more. But I wish you, Siba, the best of luck in your endeavor. I know you're leaving MD Anderson, and same Sanam, thank you very much, both of you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us. It's really been a pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity to publish the editorial and to speak about it now.
Thank you both.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.